Buenos días. Well, we are in this new sermon series on the Holy Spirit. So my hope is that if you are here, that you embrace and practice all these principles. If you were not here last Sunday, go online, watch it, take notes, and let's have conversations, because this is a very important foundational part of the Christian faith. Are you ready? Well, let's stand up, please, and let's read the Word of God together. 1, 2, 3. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, welcome here. We acknowledge your presence among us. Let us ask you and invite you to come here. You have our attention. Speak, we will obey. Holy Spirit, open our eyes to perceive, our ears to hear the word of God. Guard our hearts and minds and protect us from false teachings. But should our pastor proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, the Holy Spirit and of power, strengthen our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, teach us to abide in you. Open our hearts and minds to receive your word. It's in the powerful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Again, as I usually say, these simple teachings are really easy to understand, really hard to live out. Okay? So my hope is that we ask the Holy Spirit help so we can close the gap between what we know and what we do. Because that's the big challenge that we have. So as we reflect on this sermon series, is this understanding. I've been teaching that one of the unique characteristics of our faith is that we have a relational God. That makes us different from all the religions in the world. That we have a relational God. It's this God who came down to earth, died on the cross, walking among us, Emmanuel, and now the Holy Spirit is here revealing Jesus to us. So God is among us, he's walking with us. And this is powerful because it's not a God, again, that is out there in the universe that we have to plead and cry out so hard for him to hear us over there. No, he's right here, right now. How many of you believe that? So that makes the Christian faith very powerful. And this is the essential place of the presence of God in our life, in our daily walk with Christ, is not possible without the Holy Spirit. And that's, for me, is key, because every time we say church, we need to think of the Holy Spirit. The only difference between a church and a club is the Holy Spirit. Okay? So we want to invite the Holy Spirit to be here with us, present every time we come together, or else we're going to be doing something else. See, here it is. Warning. Okay? I'm going to give you a warning. What is the warning, Pastor? Here is the warning. We need to understand the natural world as well as the spiritual world. We are a combination of heaven and earth. God, he came down, dust, breathe, then you have humanity created out of that. So we are a combination of dust and the breath of God. Because of that, this explosion that created you and me is this balance between heaven and earth. Therefore, we need to understand both. And if we do that, we're going to have our expectations and how we process reality with understanding that there is a spiritual world and there is a natural world. And for us to present the gospel, we need to understand the principles of the kingdom of God as well as the principle of the earth. Here is the warning that the scripture is giving us, and my hope is as you read this, you remember this every time you go out into the world to preach the gospel. Here it is. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:13 to 14, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by whom? And then he says, explaining spiritual realities. The Bible says that we are now dead in Christ. Our life is dead in Christ. We have been crucified and also resurrected and also seated with Christ in the heavenly places. It means that we are in this tension between us, dead on the flesh, but at the same time, live on the spirit. And the moment we understand that tension, we're going to walk with God like never before. Now he says, the person without the spirit does not accept the things that come from the spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. So every time you share the gospel with people who don't have the spirit, they're going to say foolishness. And you should not expect anything else, because the Bible is saying to you that for you to understand, you have to have the spirit, because they are discerned only through the spirit. So it's the spirit of God who can reveal to you the knowledge and the revelation of the kingdom of God. And without the spirit of God, we cannot understand. It's like a person is talking to you in another language. The only way you know what they are saying, if you know the language, yes or no? So the Holy Spirit is basically the language of heaven. He's the translator. Without him, you are lost. And doesn't matter how hard you read the Bible by yourself, without the Spirit, it's going to be a historical book. The moment the Holy Spirit shows up, he makes it real for you, for a particular context, a particular person, you, for a particular circumstances, you. The Holy Spirit brings ancient years and years of history into one moment right now. Only the Spirit can do that. No professor in the seminary, no professor in the university can do that. You need to understand that without the Holy Spirit, we cannot understand anything. And the moment you say, I know because I took a religion class in the university, what you're saying is the God that you learn about in the university is not the real God, because for you to understand God, you need the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, and all you have is your human spirit and humanism, and the way you think is all based on the natural world, it will be impossible for you to understand and know God. And if you say you do, what you have is an idol, it's not the Father, because the Father is all knowledge, all power, all presence. It's impossible for us to understand God with our little peanut brain. Impossible. So my hope is that we understand now that without the Holy Spirit, we are nothing. So my hope is that as we come to the Holy Spirit to learn, the first thing we do is to understand that we need to die to ourselves. The question here is, how much of ourselves are we willing to die to truly live? Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm saying is that before you are actually living a full, abundant life, you have to go through the cross. And first, you have to die and confess your sins, die, crucify your flesh, and then, and only then, when you recognize that it's impossible for you to live without Christ, then you're going to start living your life like never before. You surrender. You don't have to control anything anymore. So the question here is, what in you have not yet died? Right? What areas do we need to surrender to God? Areas that you have not surrendered to the cross? Well, it depends who you are. Some of us, maybe it's our pride. I remember I was in the Dominican Republic, and we were having a conversation, and we were talking about celebrate recovery. People were confessing their sins and all the areas of addiction and all of that. And there was a guy there, and the person teaching, David Cahoon, asked this guy, hey, tell me, what is your area of addiction? And he said, let me think. No, I don't have any. And then the person leading said, oh, yes, now I know what your area is. And then he said, what? Pride. Everybody was laughing, right? Your area is pride, because pride does not allow us to acknowledge the fact that we are all sinners. Or maybe it's your ambition. Maybe it's your need for control, your desire to be recognized and admired. People need to know that I'm here. Say hi to me. If you pass by and you don't say hi, I'm offended because I'm the Queen of England, and everybody has to stop and say hi to me, right? Pride, right? And some people say, well, no, I'm not prideful, I'm fine. I don't care if people see me or not. In fact, I'm here in my corner. That's pride, because pride has a fear to rejection. So you don't relate to people, so you're not rejected. Hello? The moment you're humble and you're vulnerable, you have no problem relating to people. If they reject you, it's fine. Why? Because you are not God. You can be rejected. The fear of rejection is a sign of pride, right? So the soul is always in the middle of this fight and this battle. And the biggest enemy that we have is our soul. It's not Satan, it's not demons, it's ourselves, our soul. Our souls, what is in the soul? Your emotions, your intellect, your will is always arguing, justifying, confronting, trying to keep your ego protected. And that's the big enemy. Sometimes it's attachment to material things, pursuing comfort, and now you go out and you preach the gospel and everything is cookies and cream and prosperity, and you will never get sick, and you are healed, and all of that, which is only a little part of the gospel. The reality of the gospel is the cross, that we are in a broken world and you're going to experience suffering. And thanks God for suffering, because it's usually through suffering that you meet God faster and more deeply than with $300 million. Hello? Or a life free of sickness. Hello? But the moment you get sick, oh, God, Jehovah Rapha, are you there? Yes, I'm Jehovah Rapha, I am your healing. And then he heals you. Or not. And then accept the fact that he is God. He is not your servant. He is God. He has a will. He decides. He knows what is best for you. You accept it or not, but here it is. I'm not going to apologize. God says, I died for you on the cross. I gave you everything. So now is your time. Okay. So sometimes it's fear. It's anxiety. Tendency to trust ourselves. Self-reliance is the biggest enemy of walking in communion with the Spirit, because we need to quit everything and trust God. So if you are sleeping at night and you jump in the bed at night, worry and concern, it's the time to say, I have no control. And go back to bed. That's it. Now, can I prevent my body to jump in the bed? Worry? No, I cannot. The body betray you. Yes or no? But then, when I woke up and I'm conscious, I say, wait a minute, I'm going to rest in God. Because at the end of the day, most of the things that we want to control are not in our control. The biggest things about you, you cannot control. I was born in Cuba. Did I choose that? No. I would say, you know what? Since I'm going to be born, can you move 90 miles so I get born in Miami? Just 90 miles, God. Just 90 miles, and I will be born in Miami, not with this Castro crazy guy. But guess what? He said, no, to Cuba you go, okay? So that's it. That's the way it is. The biggest thing about you, your color, your race, your skin, your country, you cannot choose that. It's given to you, and that's it. Deal with it. That's the fact. And then you and I were born, and here we are trying to control everything else. You cannot control anything. The moment, the faster you understand this, you're going to stop this illusion that we have control. That's where depression comes in. That's where anxiety comes in. All this worry about the future comes in, because we're trying to control. If we quit all of that and allow God to be God and we trust in him, we're going to rest and trust. Now, in other words, all these principles that I'm teaching, all these three Sundays, is all about demanding the death of our ego. So my hope is that your ego dies this sermon series. That's a simple goal. That's my prayer. God, crush the ego. Whatever is needed, crush it. Because the moment we are crucified and we die on the cross, then God can actually start working with us. The cross is a sign of peace. Why? Because Christ died for us on the cross. And now my sins are forgiven. That's the first part of the gospel. The second part of the gospel is that he's coming back again and now I can live. So the cross is not only a sign or a symbol of peace, it's also a symbol of death. Brutal death. Crucifixion of the natural self. Die. Wow. And here we are using the cross as a crucifix and a symbol and for fashion. And every time you wear that, it's a sign that you don't understand that reality, what you're doing is, you're using the cross in your chest, in your earrings, whatever you use it, God is saying to you, do you know what you're doing? You cannot say to God, I don't know what the cross is if you are wearing it in a crucifix or something, some type of symbol. It's more than that. It's a practical reality. You have to die to yourself. You have to kill your pride, your anger, your fears, your anxiety. That needs to be crucified. Die to yourself and say to God, I have no power. I confess my incapacity to walk without you. The moment you do that, kabunga, now you're alive. Because the soul rejects the cross. When the soul sees the cross, it goes, because it's the soul knows, your natural self know, I'm about to die. And the soul says, no, the cross. Because the cross means die to your feelings, die to your agenda, die to your ego, die to your own ideas of things, die to things going your way in your own terms. Wow. And the soul doesn't want that. But the spirit is doing this. Let me push the soul. So it's killed. It's executed on the cross. So we can move away from that and then understand that we need to accept the cross not as a symbol, but as a what? As a reality, walking daily on this. Walking daily, walking with understanding that I am carrying the death of Christ in me. That's what the Bible says. I have the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised that. Therefore, I know that I'm a mere human being carrying around and caring about the living God. Wow. So you need to think about yourself as that. I'm a mere human being, but I'm carrying inside of me the living God. The moment you realize that, everything changes. You don't behave the same way. Your path will change. The way you walk will change. So, what are the principles of daily walking with the Spirit? How many of you want to walk with the Spirit? Hallelujah. So remember what the Bible says. I'm asking you, do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you know that you have the Holy Spirit? Or do you think you have the Holy Spirit? Do you know you have the Holy Spirit? Thinking is right here. Knowing is right here. Right? And sometimes we don't need to know the 66 books of the Bible to know that God is real. Because he testified to your soul. If the guy was blind, Jesus healed that guy, and all these Pharisees, all these teachers, theologians were asking him questions about the law of Moses, and he said, I don't know about the law of Moses, but one thing I know, I was blind, and now I see. Someone pray for me, and that guy is the Messiah, because no one can do what he does. Only him. So, therefore, I don't need to know Hebrew. I don't need to know Greek. I don't need to know the 66 of the Bible. I have to have an experience with the Holy Spirit. And the moment I have an experience with the Holy Spirit, no one can take that from me. Period. End. Sayonara. And my hope is that we move from this mental knowledge of God to an experience with the living God. No one can take that from you. Once you experience this. So, Pastor, how can we do this? How can we practically live this out? Can we come down and start talking about this in a more practical way? Can we read together John 14, 17? 1, 2, 3. So, where he is? With you and in you. So every time you experience trouble, you lose your daddy, you lose your mom, you are in a funeral, someone passed away, you are sick now, the doctor gave you a bad news. Whatever happened, you look around like this and say, God, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Stop looking around and look inside. And the more you pray and the more you stay there, you're going to have this confidence and this peace. You don't know how. Everything is crazy around me, but I don't know how. I have peace. Wow. And what is peace? Peace is not the absence of issues and problems and situations. Peace is a person. The name is Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So I have peace because I know a person, and that person is with me. It's not the absence of noise. It's not the absence of disease and sickness and trials. Peace is a person, and his name is Jesus. Wow. He's with you. He's inside of you. So then how am I going to develop this relationship with the Holy Spirit? Okay, here are the first principle. Daily recognition. It means that you need to recognize that he is a person, not a dove, not heat, not a wind, not shaking. He is a person. Do not confuse the signs of the Spirit with the person of the Spirit. And he will show up, and he will talk to you, and he will manifest in every church, in every place, according to the people that are there. So if I go to a Hispanic church, you're going to see all this music and all this noise and all, fire, 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 fire. And then you go and you are from Europe somewhere, or you are American, you go, what is this noise? What is this? People are crazy. But for them, God is there. And then you come to a church, an American church, and everything is quiet. Everybody's calm down. Okay. And the Hispanic show up and says, what is going on here? Where is God here? And guess what? God is there, because he talks to us according to who we are. And you see that in the Bible. You see the Emmaus walk, when Jesus was talking to the disciples in a casual way, talking to them, and they said, wow, my heart is warm. I know it was the Lord. And then you go the Damascus road, not the Emmaus road, the Damascus road, Paul in a horse chasing and persecuting the church. And Jesus showed up, threw him out of the horse. He was blind. He could not see. Jesus opened the heaven and says, I am Jesus, Paul. I am Jesus who you are persecuting. And he was blind. Are you Lord? Yes. Wow. Some of us need to be thrown out of the horse. Hello. Hello. Some of us, God just talked to us, hey, let me talk to you. Let's have a conversation. And you say, yes, Lord, you understand. Other of us, some of us that are like the Cuban here, I need to be thrown out of the horse. My life is super dramatic. Everything in my life is super dramatic. That's the way he talks to me. He's like, hey, go to the horse, blind, I don't see it. Oh my God, all of that. He said, why can't I be like the Americans? Just a conversation, and that's it. Talking, Emmaus walk. Why the Emmaus walk? Emmaus walk. Why can't I have that? No, I have to do that. The drama, Latinos. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, be relational. God is a relational God. So the recognition that he's a person, and I'm going to start relating to him as a person. The moment I recognize he's a person, not a dove, not fire, not a wind, he's a person, now friendship can begin. Wow. Daily abiding, cultivate his nearness. It's not about rules, it's about relationship. So now you are seeing him and you want to abide in him. You spend time with Jesus, you spend time with the Holy Spirit, now in a relational matter. Therefore, when you go into his presence, it's not about formulas, it's not about the list, my shopping list, it's about me relating to God. And that's it. And sometimes that means saying nothing. Sometimes it's just silence. Sometimes it's just worship. But he's there because he knows what you need, and he knows everything about you. He has no need for you to say anything because he knows everything. He's God Almighty, all-knowing, all-presence. Wow. Abide in him. Just stay there. Do not move, protect the presence of God in your life. Abide. In other words, will you let him do what he wants and desires in your heart? Then you say, yes, do what you want. That's the spirit talking. But the soul is saying, no, no way, Jose. I will do this my way. Do you know that song? My way? Do you know that song? Can you sing a little bit? Yes. That's the soul. My way. I went to this road and I've been doing this, but always did it my way. That's the soul. And guess what? Christ says, I'm going to crucify your way, because there is only one way, and his name is Jesus. I am the way. I am the way. Not your way, my way. Wow. Die to you. So, you know, again, John 15 says, remain in me, remain in you. But I want you to pay attention to the last piece. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear what? Apart from me, you can do. So see the difference between much fruit to nothing. In other words, in order for you to produce much fruit, we have to abide with God, spend time with God. So if we are not connected to the vine and we are the branches, if we disconnect, the only thing we're doing is we're trying to produce fruits based on human will, human power. That's why we are here trying. We're so tired and also so burned out, because we're trying to produce love, produce forgiveness, produce repentance. Why? Because you are not abiding. If you are abiding in Christ and now he's in you and Christ is living in you, Christ will forgive all the people so easy. You are forgiven. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. Forgiven. Forgiven. I forgive you. It's okay. It's fine. Doesn't matter. Fine. It's when you are full of the Spirit, when Christ is living in you. But when you are not, it's really hard to forgive, because your soul now is ruling. And when the soul rules, guess what? The soul does not forget. Ouch. Right? But when you move to the Spirit says, remember? Remember what he did to you? And you say, yes, I remember what she did to me. I remember what he did to me. I remember what he did. I remember what she did. And the soul is saying all of that, screaming, I remember. And now the Spirit says, and you also remember what you did to other people? Yes, I remember. So forgive. I forgive you. Easy. The moment you cannot forgive is because you forgot what you also did. And the only way you can remember what you have done, if you are at the cross. Wow. Daily reverence. Remember that God is powerful. He's Abba. He's Daddy. He is my Father. But he's also God. Don't be casual with God. Remember that he's God. He's walking with you. He loves us. Do not ignore him. Practice nearness. But the moment you recognize and you are reverent to his presence, now you have clarity, and now friendship can start. But don't be casual and don't treat God like he is anything. He is God. So the fear of God has to be in us, so we can actually walk in the revelation that he's God walking on earth. Then daily respect. That means now you care more about him than anything else. Respect the relationship. How do you do that? By caring more about who he is than about what he can do for you. You are seeking not the hand, you are seeking his face. You are not only asking for stuff, now you are looking for him. You love him. You want to be there because you delight yourself in your in his presence, not because you want stuff. And then you understand that he's God. He is God. Therefore, when he speaks, you obey immediately. So if he spoke to you on Monday, what are you going to do? Monday. It's not Tuesday. It's not Wednesday. It's Monday. Because delay obedience is disobedience. Again, I'm going to say it again. If he gave you directions and instructions on Monday and you don't do it until Friday, that is disobedience. Because delay obedience equals disobedience. So he's challenging you. So then you say, well, I don't feel God. I don't know where God is, because you cannot live in disobedience and have communion with God. So what I do, Pastor, repent, ask for forgiveness. Holy Spirit, can you talk to me again? Give me peace, and I can do it. Boom, he show up and he help you. Because even when he speak, you cannot obey without the Holy Spirit. So every time I say, God, reveal your will, I also say, and give me the grace to obey. Because I know that most likely I will not obey. It will be hard for me to obey. Companionship, purity, giving the Spirit priority over all other relationships. How you respond. You don't respond with discipline. You don't respond with actions and more power activities, religious activity. You respond with what? With love. With joyful obedience. So when the Holy Spirit show up, and when you are seeking God, now you understand this is not about doing more, it's about being more. And the moment you realize that, you respond in love. In love. Joyful obedience. You are happy. Why? Because you love him. And you know that he loves you. So whatever he asks you, you go joyfully doing it. It's not an imposition. He's not asking me to do things in an obligation. It's love. Daily repentance. I already talked about that. You have to repent daily. Because we sing daily. So when you wake up in the morning, you say, Holy Spirit, thank you. I recognize you. You are God. You are here with me. I submit my agenda to you. I ask for forgiveness. Please help me to recognize my sins during the day. Here I am, Lord. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. Boom. And then you get up. Off you go. Now that's a good day. And usually when you don't pray, your day goes upside down. And when you pray and still your day go upside down, you have the grace to navigate that madness. Because now you're center. Hello? So remove anything that is preventing the Holy Spirit to move in your life. You do that and you're going to experience God like never before. Then God is calling us to daily communion. It means that God's presence on us is not automatic. It's not whatever I go, oh, the God is here, God is there. No. The presence of God needs to be what? Protected? In other words, you have to be careful where you are, what you say, what you think, right? You have to be conscious of your life and the way you walk your life. That's what the Bible says. Those who walk in the Spirit will live, but those who walk in the flesh will die. So God is challenging us to say, do you want to have communion with the Spirit? Do you have to have communion with me? Do you want to have communion with me? You say yes, then walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, do not walk in the flesh. If you walk in the flesh, you will die, but if you walk in the Spirit, you will live. That's a challenge. Then daily consistency. This is one of the most powerful ones because we have this roller coaster spiritual life. Daily consistency means seek him daily beyond what? Doesn't matter what is going on, you are going to be consistent. If you are happy, you are there. If you are sad, you are there. If you have a victory, you are there. If you have a failure, you are there. If you fight with your wife all night, you go, and still, you go to the secret place. If you have love with your wife, everything is awesome with your husband, you still go to the secret place. Doesn't matter what is going on, you stay abiding and having communion with God. Nothing on earth should prevent you to go before the Lord, because the enemy wants to convince you that you messed up. And now that you messed up, you have shame. And now that you have shame, you are guilty. And now that you are guilty, you walk away from walking in the Spirit. And when the enemy, who is crafty, does that, he got you. But if you now, with this sermon series, you will say, wait, not today, Satan. I don't care what I did. I'm going back in communion with my God. God, here I am. Forgive me, Lord. That's it. Relationship restored. Only one word. Forgive me, Lord. Humility. Not pride. Humility. Wow. Be consistent. You build this relationship with consistency, not by random encounters, right? You have to be every day. That's the way you make friends, consistency. If you talk to a person every time in a while, you're not friends. Real friends, you talk to them every day. not random encounters. Do not wait for a conference. Do not wait for a revival in a tent. Do not wait for all of that. He wants to meet with you daily. Let's read this Bible together, this Bible verse together. 1, 2, 3. Let's pray. Wow. Let's pray. Let's ask God to take over, for we want to walk by the Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, help us to walk with you. Come, Holy Spirit. We acknowledge the fact that we cannot live the Christian life without you. We identify ourselves with Christ, that we have been crucified with him. We identify ourselves with Christ's resurrection, that now we have been resurrected with him. But we also identify with Christ's ascension, because the Bible says that we are now seated with Christ in the heavenly places. We bring alignment into our life. Now you are with us. Now you made us alive in Christ. Our life now is crucified, but our real life is hidden in Christ, our Lord and Savior. Come, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to us so we can walk with you daily. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.